A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can make a change. We need a new generation of thinking, your way of thinking. Start different at GoDaddy.com.
COVID-19 patients need your help.
If you've fully recovered from COVID-19
or unknowingly been exposed to it,
you may have the antibodies that could help COVID-19 patients recover.
Donate blood and receive testing for COVID-19 antibodies.
Visit Vitalant.org today to schedule an appointment to donate blood.
That's Vitalant.org. Help save lives and schedule your appointment at Vitalant.org.
You could help save lives.
This is an ode to the glass noodle. You may be glass only in name, but our love for you is crystal clear in every Bibigo Korean dumpling. Your tantalizing texture tickles the taste buds, and while you are see-through, the world can't help but see you. The glass noodle, one of many obsessively crafted ingredients in every plump and juicy Korean dumpling from Bibigo. Go handcrafted. Go Bibigo. Authentic Korean dumplings now in the freezer aisle.
This is Podco Media Networks.
It's the Innovation Podcast with Mark Reed Edwards and Garnett Harriman. Let's start the show.
Hi, it's Mark. Garnett and I have some great discussions we can't wait to share with you this week. And next, we have John Finley, who is reviving the great 1970s and 80s brand Underalls. Soon, Carmela Ray, who founded the Egg Fund, focused on helping people finance fertility treatments, will join us to discuss that important topic. We're also talking with Boston University Innovation Fellow Moira Kelly, Michael Hoffman, founder and CEO at Gather Voices, and Jarrett C. Riddick, director of the U.S. Army's Vehicle Technology Directorate. Plus, we have some special things planned for the new year. Let's get to our discussion with John Finley. John is heading up a revival of the Underalls brand, that ubiquitous name we all knew in the 70s and 80s. In this first part of our discussion, we get a look at why John started up this venture, the backstory on how he found the opportunity, what the new brand is all about, and how they're tackling the direct-to-consumer digital native angle. When we talked to John, he was hard at work in the garment district in New York City, so there is a bit of chatter in the background that shows he's in the middle of the action. Let's get to it. Garnett, how are you doing today?
Good. Another beautiful day in Laguna Beach.
So, Garnett, anyone of a certain age remembers Underalls. It disappeared in the 1990s, but recently our guest John Finley revived the brand. Do you want to do the honors of introducing John, Garnett?
Absolutely. Hi, John. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys. This is great.
Great to have you here.
John is a former, I'm not sure whether you were a trader or a banker, but he was involved in financial services. And then later in his career, more of a serial entrepreneur. His most recent endeavor, his most recent venture, is to be the CEO of the second coming of the Underalls brand. That's how I got to know him. I'm fascinated by things like fallen angels or brand renovations, brand refurbishments, whatever you want to call it. I'm excited to talk to him about that today. So we should launch right into that. Welcome again, John.
Thank you again. I'm excited to be here. Talk about Underalls.
Do you want to fill in some of the gaps between my high-level take on your career and the things that you did that led up to taking on the Underalls challenge?
Yeah, let me give you a little background. So I was actually working in Beijing on investment banking for several years. A friend of a friend came through looking to sell Underalls to a Chinese manufacturer and wanted my help. And I was like, I remember that brand. My mother wore those. I'm like, I've always wanted to do this. I know that sounds crazy, but it's true. And I also had a friend in fashion and I called her up and I said, hey, do you want to do this? And she said, yeah, that's how it came about. Happenstance.
Isn't that the way the best stories and the best businesses start?
I think so.
It's a great plot line, whether it's literary or whether it's business. Did you have any like misgivings? I'm a real fan of like the agony and the ecstasy of startups. Did you have any misgivings at the outset?
No, why would I? I mean, this has been a challenge, no doubt. But the more I work on it, the more I'm convinced of what I'm doing. I really think that combining the brand with a DTC model is going to be really something special. I'm excited, even though it has been a challenge getting other people to share my vision. I know you do somewhat, Garnett, and I appreciate that. But no, I really don't have misgivings.
No, I didn't mean now. I mean, back then so much. Did you just get the entrepreneurial bug? I mean, what was the motive force?
Well, I've been an entrepreneur. I was actually an entrepreneur.
Was it nostalgia?
Somewhat. And, you know, it reminded me of my mother, who actually passed during this process. So this is sort of an ode to her.
Sorry about that.
Thanks. But before I went to college, I invented a board game, Corporate Pursuit. It was like Monopoly. Instead of buying real estate, you bought stock in big companies like American Airlines, Maytag, etc. So I've always loved brands. When I was a kid, I cut out magazine articles for my mother, Better Homes and Gardens, put on my wall. So this has just always been something I wanted to do. I remember reading years ago, I think in Forbes, about a couple of guys that brought back, I think it was a laundry detergent, maybe Gain or something. I thought that would be really cool to do. So I've been an entrepreneur from the beginning, I think. And then I did this investment banking thing for a while. And then because of that, I got introduced to Underalls.
What did you learn from your board game experience that is helping you or might have convinced you at the beginning of the Underall experience? I never saw your game, but I'm curious about your game.
It's funny, when you tell the story to somebody, someone will almost always say, so-and-so is doing this. And then you go look it up and you find out it's something very different. And that happened with me when I was doing the game a lot. And it's also happened with Underalls. So I guess the idea is just always keep moving forward and don't let people detract from what you're doing.
That's a big thing. A lot of times in the startup game, there's this expression, you know, running on fumes.
Yes.
A lot of what you're running on is your own stubbornness, your own diligence or alacrity for the project, your own infectiousness and your ability to infect others with that.
That's exactly right. I'm stubborn, I think. A lot of people would call me stubborn. Because the typical way that I think a lot of these brands would be brought back, which makes a lot of sense, but really focus on the people that remember it. Reach them and have a bit of nostalgia, et cetera. But what I'm doing is using it to also reach younger audiences and just using that nostalgia to reach a much broader audience. It's a longer term play and it's a higher risk play, but I think there's a lot more upside to it. And I think it's a lot more interesting.
Let's go back to the beginning and someone in your network brought this deal to you. What kind of due diligence did you do on the person who brought the opportunity or was it the actual Underalls trademark owner who brought it to you? I'm not sure how it came about.
Yeah, it was a friend of the trademark owner. That gentleman is sort of a brand revivalist specialist, if you will. He's brought back a whole bunch of brands, including Brim and Iowa. And
wait a minute.
Working on Spuds McKenzie right now.
Brim?
Yeah.
Brim, the coffee?
Get out of here.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not sure exactly what he did with that, but that was one of his projects, yeah.
Fill it to the rim with Brim.
That's right.
Oh, that's right.
They had tried to launch Underalls before, I think, with a Canadian company about 10 years ago or more. I guess that didn't work out. But what we're doing is something completely different. Again, they were trying to get it into stores. They were using the old school model of, you know, department stores, et cetera. But the world is changing, right? Yeah. I mean, all these awesome digital brands like Allbirds and Rothy's and Bonobos and stuff, those are all great brands. But why not take something with a little bit of depth and nostalgia and some history and combine it with this business model? That's what I'm doing. I'm sort of taking the best of both worlds.
Mark? Your wish is my command. Fill it to the rim
with Brim.
Brim is back in business as of March 2018 with a line of consumer coffee products, consumer coffee makers.
I think they make coffee makers, right?
Coffee makers. Artisanal coffee makers. That's what's up with Brim right there. Holy smoke. Well, what's next? Like, you banned?
he's got a ton of brands, yeah. Underalls is one of his brands. We sort of partnered with him. He's an equity holder in the company. Like I said, I'm doing something a little bit differently than people would typically do with old brands.
I'm still fascinated by the backstory, so I'm going to stay with the backstory a little bit.
Wherever you want to go.
How old is this gentleman who was the trademark holder for Underalls? 60s, 70s?
He's roughly our age.
Holy smoke.
Yeah, so okay. Late 30s, are you talking?
Yes.
Well, you just speak for yourself, Mark Reed. Each one of these podcasts takes about a decade off of my life. Yeah, at this age, I'll be like 200 by the time we get through our first year of podcast. Maybe it's not that bad. You know?
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. He must have had a very interesting career. We should talk to that guy at some point, too.
Yeah, I'd be happy to introduce you. He's a great guy.
Let's start from the beginning and go through it, you know, from top to bottom. What is the new Underall brand story and key story elements?
We've updated it, right? I mean, it started out with providing great clothing and hosiery for women going back to the workforce in the 70s and 80s. We've updated that to be leggings, which we think is much more, you know, for today's market. And the original product was pantyhose with built-in panties, and we've changed that or updated that to leggings with built-in underwear. Now, of course, also what we're focused on is sustainability and women's empowerment, and I think there's a lot of messages that we can combine, again, the old and the new.
Interesting. Let's talk about the value proposition. What's the value prop? So I'll come clean to the listening audience. I am, you know, straight male, and I don't wear leggings, and I don't wear women's underwear. What is the value proposition for the combination of leggings and underwear?
So a lot of women like to go commando, meaning not wearing any underwear. And then a lot of women would prefer to do that, but they think it's disgusting. So what we've done is build in underwear that's organic cotton, antibacterial, and anti-odor, so that you can do both. You're basically wearing underwear without wearing underwear. And we have two different models. One is underwear optional, so if you still want to wear underwear with it, you can, or some days you can, some days you don't have to, whatever you want to do. And then something we created that's new, and both of these, by the way, are patent pending. We have a version called the Newbie, and that's got sort of a bikini front built in. And that is really meant to be worn without underwear, as that is the underwear. Hmm. And the reception's been great. And our price point is, you know, $68, $78, $88. So we're below Lululemon and people like that. But our quality is just about on par with them.
Interesting.
So we're making an accessible product. Yeah.
You jumped ahead a little bit into the competitive matrix. So how do these other brands deal with the underwear, no underwear conundrum, with the Underalls commando conundrum?
Nobody has what we have as far as the built-in bikini piece. Now, there are other competitors that have something built in that's basically underwear, but it's absorbent. It's for 1 week a month. Ours is truly just underwear meant for any day. So there are competitors that do that. In fact, one of them did a Kickstarter a couple of years ago. They tried to raise $15,000 and instantly they got, I don't know instantly, but very quickly they got over $150,000. Their basic premise was, you know, leggings without VPL, without visible panty lines. So there is clearly a market for it. And I think with us, like I said, we have patents pending on our designs for the built-in underwear. But, you know, Lululemon, when they're ready, they're going to copy us. But we are the originals, right? We were around since 1976. Mm-hmm. We created this market. So that's another beauty of the brand, because it has that history. It has that authenticity.
If you've recovered from COVID-19 or unknowingly been exposed to it, you may have antibodies that could help COVID-19 patients. Donate blood and receive testing for COVID-19 antibodies. Visit Vitalant.org today.
Now you're reminding me of something, and I'll throw it back. You know, we're not necessarily going in a very sequential process, and we don't need to. But depending on when in the 70s Underall first came to prominence, if it was roughly the mid-70s or something.
76.
You know, we should go back and look at this. But I'm curious when ERA was a thing, you know, when equal rights for women and all this kind of stuff. You know, the 70s in general, without knowing the hard dates on key litigation and key legislation, the 70s in general were a time when basically women were insisting on equal rights in many settings, including the work setting. You know, just trying to extrapolate a little bit, not knowing this firsthand, since I don't wear leggings or women's underwear. It seems like it would be for women who were maybe single or maybe single parents or deeply engaged in the workforce. It seems like it would be an expedient. It seems like it would be something that would make their lives easier and therefore would have that sort of utilitarian appeal.
Yes, and that's exactly right. We were there when women were going back to work with something that was very convenient and comfortable.
That's a big thing. So I'm curious, you know, I know a little bit about your marketing. I don't know everything about what you're doing right now, but it feels like there is a rich vein of, I think women call smart men like yourself and like Mark Reed Edwards, and definitely not me. I think they call folks like you allies. Feminists call you like allies. So technically the Underalls brand is a pretty, pretty big ally of the feminist movement. I'm curious if you guys are leveraging that as much as you should be.
We're in early days, but I mean, women's empowerment is definitely one of our core values, clearly. And to be honest, I don't want to I'm a middle-aged man, and for better or for worse. And my colleagues, though, are awesome women. And I'm going to let them, you know, lead the charge on that. But that's definitely a real pillar of the brand.
Definitely.
But yeah, and it's a real opportunity. What's crazy and sort of sad, right, is that women are still having a lot of the same issues that they had in the 70s. So I think it's important for us to be vocal.
No, absolutely. The rate of change is definitely moving in the right direction. But it's astonishing that women are aggressively agitating for the same things that they really wanted and needed in the 70s. Shame on us.
Yep, exactly. So hopefully we can do something about it as part of this, you know, bringing back the brand.
I get the inside of the product, and that's what's driving a lot of the broad value proposition. What is the outside of the product like as far as the design and the pattern? Is there a story there, or is there anything exciting that you want to share with us about what's going on with the external design?
We went pretty bold, and I think our designs are pretty cool, and a couple of them are really, really loved by consumers. Moving forward in our next collection, we're going to do a little bit more nod to both the 70s and 80s.
Oh, vintage, like vintage modern.
A little bit. I mean, again, I'm going to let our creative director handle that, but that's something that we've been talking about. I think it would make sense. But just to be clear, we do not want to be the retro brand. There are some retro brands out there, which ironically are brand new, but they're completely focused on the 70s. All their look is the 70s. And that's cool. That's not what we're doing. And we don't want to be the built-in underwear brand either. That's just something that goes back to our roots, and I think it's a good launching point. But we do want to be innovative, and we do want to have, you know, style. And we have authenticity, because no matter what happens, we started in 1976. So all these great new brands, they can do a retro day and, you know, throwback Thursday or whatever it is. But we've been around since 76, and that's something that we're capitalizing on.
So I'm on the website right now. Which one is the most popular, Kelly and Lennon?
That's popular. Uprising.
Uprising. Let's have a look at that. I'm curious what that looks like. I'm going to describe it for our listening audience. Oh, okay. I got it. Uprising is paint splatter. It's a very cool,
sort of,
like,
yeah,
abstract paint splatter pattern.
Mostly black on top, then splatters, then mostly white at the bottom.
It looks both like very, very modern.
That's been very popular.
But then it's got this kind of vintagey, like Jackson Pollock thing going on. Very cool.
Yeah, people love that.
This may sound like a dumb question, but are the solid colors popular?
Oh, of course. I mean, it's with anything in fashion. You know, you have the cool designs, but the solids, especially black, is always going to be your most popular.
All right. Got it. How digitally native friendly is the brand and or the company? I guess the brand, the shopping experience, the consumer experience. What are you guys doing to make yourself more digitally native friendly?
The entire launch is, you know, our website and Instagram and Facebook. So that's, you know, that's what we're doing. We are thinking about going into some stores, boutiques, or what have you, just to get it out there so people can touch it. But our focus is digitally native, definitely. And yeah, reaching people on Instagram, Facebook, et cetera. And then there are a lot of other methods to get to people, even podcasts, actually, that we'll do someday. But Instagram is a great way to find your audience initially.
And you guys are very active on Instagram. Is that working for you? I know they recently started doing like more paid ads on Instagram, fairly recently anyway.
Yeah, we have organic posts, paid posts, and we're boosting our posts. I'm in the process, you may know, of raising money to really get out there. So we have been definitely active, but we need to get a lot more active. A lot of people need to hear about us. We have a ways to go on that. There's a lot out there. But again, we differentiate ourselves from all the other players.
What are you guys doing on the influencer front or on the brand ambassador front? That's a pretty big piece of like appealing to digitally native folks.
Yeah, we've done a bunch of that, but we need to do a lot more. That's also going to take capital because you need people to be really engaged with the influencers, the ambassadors, working with them almost daily. Definitely, we have done some of that, but we need to do a lot more of that. That's a very key element.
What sort of things are you doing?
In what sense? I mean, we've reached out to people that we think would be a good fit. Other people have reached out to us that thought would be a good fit. And generally, we provide product and they work out and they tag us. And
are they bloggers? Are they vloggers? What are they?
They're mainly just influencers on Instagram. And you can go, there's a section on Instagram. You can see where we're tagged. And we've got people who, you know, they work out with us and then they tag us. And a lot of people work out with us and they don't tag us. So that's the kind of thing we need to stay on them and say, hey, you're wearing our product. Please tag us so people know. That's the type of thing that, you know, we need to do a better job at.
What's the hardest part about reaching out to digital natives and millennials and the rest of them?
it's just a matter of capital, really. We have something really unique, right? We have the classic retro brand. We have the product that goes back to, you know, our roots. And we have two versions of that product. And I'm really excited about our position and what we have relative to what's out there now. But getting that messaging down for people that are just flying through Instagram really quickly, getting the right words and the right imaging. And we've had some good experience, but we have to do a lot more testing to really see what clicks with what group. That's what we're going to do with this next round of funds.
What you've learned from the sort of marketing intel that you've gathered thus far, what's the most surprising thing that came back as far as like new learning and new insights based on the data and the feedback?
Probably the discussion around going commando. It's pretty controversial. People either think it's actually, you know, it's really disgusting, or they just think it's obvious and they don't even need underwear. But to have that discussion, have that argument and be a part of that, and we want to lead that, we're going to have a real opportunity. And again, between the two different products, we actually have something for everybody. There's a little bit of educating people about what it is that we have and how it works. And we've done some user testing and people said, oh, that sounds really interesting. You need to understand how that works. I'm working on a video right now with a comedian to explain the product. And we want to get that out, put on YouTube and Instagram and that sort of thing. You know, the website helps. You need better visual, especially video, to explain the product. So that's the next step.
So the commando conundrum.
That's great. I'm going to borrow that, Garnet.
If you use my phrasing, you know, you just give me a footnote and a residual like revenue share on your licensing and stuff.
Sure, you want 10% or something for life, right?
Me? No. 20 minimum.
And I think Garnet just trademarked that.
Yeah, I probably did. He's online trademarking it.
I sent an email to our very, very diligent trademark lawyers. No. Whatever you feel like you want to share with me, I mean, I'm happy to take a piece of your licensing revenue. It's all good.
By the way, we're not licensing it. Underalls Inc. owns the brand.
Oh, there you go.
Just so you know.
I'm fascinated by the commando conundrum thing. I can confidently tell you that men don't talk about that at all or give a shit about talking about it.
Well, that's not true. There's a brand that men's shorts. Oh, I forgot the name of it. Bird something. It's very popular, which I believe has built-in underwear. And they've done a really nice job. I got to look at them a little bit more.
Hang on. I'm not suggesting that there isn't room in the product marketplace. I'm suggesting that men don't talk about it. You were saying something very different. And it was kind of insightful to me, actually. I didn't know this, that it's like a controversial topic of discussion. So when you say things like that to me, what I visualize is, hey, you know, you post about it or your influencer posts about it and you instantly get like a shit ton of like social media engagement. Because people are so interested, women are so interested in talking about it and so interested in getting their opinions across. And their opinions are so vehement one way or the other.
Yes.
That's what I thought you were saying.
Yeah, no, that's true. And that I think will present a real opportunity. But remember, what we're talking about here is underwear. So that can quickly go, that's a slippery slope, right? We have gotten a lot of posts on Facebook that are, you know, not really appropriate. We have to clean that out. Some people are worth responding to. Some are not.
As long as they're not posting illustrative images or video.
Right, yeah. Well, they can be pretty descriptive as well. That is a challenge. That is a challenge of what we're doing, clearly.
I hope none of the censors are listening. Actually, that's a great insight, I have to tell you. And I think, you know, in general, I'm sure someone out there is going to call me sexist for this. I feel like in general, women are more willing to talk about uncomfortable things in an open-hearted, open-minded, and maybe even open forum type way than men will ever be. That's a great opportunity right there, actually.
Yep, I agree.
Good insight on your part.
It's exciting. There's a real opportunity. But it's delicate, right? As I said, how you handle talking about women's underwear.
Yeah.
Well, my colleagues are good at that. They're women.
Good.
So
there you go.
There you
That's
go.
Their area. We're building a strong female-focused team.
Kudos to you. Mark and I and the company that owns the iPod Innovation Podcast are big believers in diversity and inclusion. A big piece of that is gender equity. Good for you. Where is your factory? Where are the products made?
The leggings were made in Vietnam and the tops are made in Taiwan. So Southeast Asia, but not China. So we don't get involved in any of that stuff that a lot of the countries dealing with. So we're fortunate there. We are exploring other places around the world and also the U.S. We'd love to manufacture in the U.S.
There you go.
We're a U.S. brand. And some of our competitors do, but for the most part, it is very expensive. But we are exploring that. It's something we'd really like to do. If we could be completely sustainable and made in America, I think that would be really cool.
All right, next time we're back with John and we get more into sustainability and the response they've gotten from consumers. See you then.
Thanks for joining Garnett and Mark on the Innovation Podcast. Visit theinnovationpodcast.co to subscribe and listen to other episodes.